Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR and WNYC's Hour of Trivia, Word Games, and Puzzles. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and joining me is author, playwright, and host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Hiya.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Hi. You know, in addition to us both having something in common, which is as a host,
yes.
We have something else in common.
What?
We both grew up in a grocery store business.
Did we do that?
Yes.
I did not. I didn't notice you there.
Did you? Your family owned a grocery
store? My family owned, I'm very proud of this, my family owned the Evergood Market in Cambridge, Massachusetts from 1949 to 1999. I am a grocer's grandson, and I am proud of it, and that means that to this day, I go into grocery stores of all sizes and judge them. Do you do that?
Peter, my store was called Triglin Food Market.
Yeah.
My first job was dusting off cans.
Important job.
Then I moved on to pricing cans with the pricer.
Oh, there's nothing like the gun.
It's very fun.
Is this a boy thing, or did you do the quick draw?
I love the quick draw.
You stand there, you put the pricing gun in like your pocket of your apron, you stand in front of the yogurts, you shake your hand like the gunfighter, and because I'm me, I'd have a little bit of dialogue
with
the yogurt. So, I told you never to come back to this dairy section again. And you know, I was a young kid at the time, and so people, I feel they enjoyed it, but a crowd would gather.
To see what's going on.
There was a 16-year-old in an apron muttering in a hostile way to the yogurts. I think it brought in business. But
they're like, the Sagal kid,
yeah.
He's going to be okay.
He's going to be fine.
Okay.
He'll be, that kid, he's going to go into public radio.
Did you think you were going to be, as a child, what were your aspirations? What did you want
to
do?
My aspirations were to be very serious. I wanted to be a playwright, and I was for a long time. And I wrote very serious plays because I felt that I knew what was wrong with the world, and it was my obligation to let the rest of you know. And I always felt that if I was in front of a crowd like this, not quite so dorky, but otherwise, that you would either, at the end of my presentation, whatever it may be, you would either thank me with tears in your eyes, or you would hang me. And either would have been adequate. I would have been pleased with the response.
So you were looking to make a statement.
I was looking to make a statement. Now I make fart jokes. It's destiny.
Well, it's a different
and
kind
yet
of
people like it.
Yeah,
people actually
like it.
Prefer the fart jokes than being told that they've been living their lives in a completely horrific,
their lives
failed
are
way.
A lie.
Exactly. I don't know why people didn't like that message. They like fart jokes instead.
They
it's
do
strange.
Love fart. It's universal.
Yeah.
So you get to talk to all kinds of people, obviously, on your show.
I do.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I'm sure everyone has asked you, what is your favorite guest? What is one of your favorite moments? Which I love those conversations, too.
But
I am much more interested in finding out what moment keeps you up at night, haunts you, something that didn't go as planned, something, some hilarious fail.
Oh, gosh. We have been relatively free of really horrific disasters. And even the ones we've had were at least interesting. So, for example, we had this guy on the show named Simon Amstel. And Simon Amstel is a British comedian. And I don't know if you know this, but this sort of thing that we do, this quiz show thing,
yeah.
It's a niche market here. But in England,
it
it's like
huge.
60% of everything broadcast on the radio and television is panel quiz shows in England. It's what they do.
If you don't have one,
yeah,
it's weird.
If you've never been on one, it's like, here you say, oh, what do you do for a living? In England, you say, what panel quiz show have you appeared on?
That's
because
right.
Everybody's been on one. And this guy, we were told, had hosted one. He was like a pro. And we felt like we were a baseball team in Japan getting a player from America,
exciting.
So he comes on, and this guy is a lunatic. And he's a very funny lunatic. It's his shtick, but he also has never heard our show before, it seems.
So it's completely...
They don't do preparation, apparently. So, like, we did our listener limerick challenge, and he's like, what? You're reading limericks? Actual limericks? I remember what happened was, he says, now we're going to read you this limerick. And he goes, huh? And then Carl Castle starts reading the limericks, and he says, you actually did it! I thought it was some sort of joke!
Right, that he's questioning the premise of the show, the entire show.
And people were like, what? This is rude. But I actually loved it. Because I've been doing this show for a long time, and to have somebody show up and going, what the hell are you people doing? Made me go, yeah, actually, we're doing limericks? What's up with that? So I had an existential crisis for a week, but it was still fun.
Right, no, that's right. Yeah, so take it off the rails. Do you have a pre-show ritual that you do every time you do?
We don't have time. Do you? Do you have a pre-show ritual?
Oh, I basically question everything and say I'm not going to go on.
Yeah. I don't know about you. And no. Ophir and I are going to have a little moment. Do you ever worry that there's no way that it's going to work? This happens to me every week. Like, we work in this script, and we work in this material every week, and then it's like Thursday. We tape Thursday evenings at 7:30. Thursday at 5 o'clock, I'm like, this is a disaster. This is not going to... It's every week.
Peter, you have no idea how comforting this is to hear.
It's just, this is the lamest stuff. I mean, Letterman did it better the other night. I can't... What are we going to do? And then we go on, and it seems to work. I don't really understand it.
And then you leave, and you're like, fools!
Fools!
Well, that is the constant push and pull, right? That sort of keeps you going, is that every day it might end.
Yes. One day they might all turn into Simon Amstel and go, what are you doing? You're reading limericks?
This is the point where we turn the quiz tables around.
All right, I'm bracing myself.
And I usually ask people if they are up for an Ask Me Another challenge. But in this case, I think you would be okay with me telling you that Peter Sagal... You are going to be up right now for an Ask Me Another challenge.
It's only fair.
Fantastic. Peter Sagal, everybody.
Do I get to use the buzzer?
You may if you'd like to.
I was on Jeopardy in 1988. On Jeopardy, you have a buzzer much like this, but they can only buzz in after the host, Alex Trebek, reads the question.
Exactly.
You ask me what keeps me up at night? The fact that I couldn't master the timing. I'm going to get it right this time.
Yeah,
go.
Well,
all right.
Arm those buzzers. One of our favorite segments on Wait, Wait! Is the celebrity segment called Not My Job.
Yes.
So we thought we'd flip it around, and this game is called That Was My Job.
All right.
This quiz is about the unusual and interesting jobs once held by some of your distinguished Wait, Wait! Panelists.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And as a hint, all the panelists we'll be talking about have appeared on your show at least 10 times.
Okay.
So hopefully you remember their names.
No Simon Amstel.
Amstel. And if you get enough right, Allison Johnson of Claremont, Florida, will win a special Ask Me Another prize.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you're playing for someone.
This is a very high-pressure situation. You know, one of the things we do on our show, which is different from your show, is we ask very easy questions.
Yeah.
And we do that so people can know them and feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Well, like you said, they are different shows.
They are different shows. All right.
So, Jonathan Art will be helping me out with this game.
That's awesome.
Here we go. Which panelist starred in a 1984 Star Wars spoof titled Hyperspace, in which the main characters must defend Earth from a Darth Vader-like villain named Lord Buckethead?
1984 spoof?
A Star Wars spoof.
Okay.
Titled Hyperspace.
Hyperspace.
You're right, though. This went straight to IMDb.
I don't know. This hasn't come up. So 1984, they had to be a working professional in 1984.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Well, the median age of our panelists is 84, so that's not going to be a problem. I'm going to guess, was it Paula Poundstone?
You guessed correct.
Yes! Before the producers of the film Groundhog Day settled on the song I Got You, Babe, as the music that wakes Bill Murray up every morning, they were going to use a famous ad campaign, and one of your panelists would have been the voice of that campaign. Who was it, and what was the ad campaign?
Well, obviously... Well, excuse me.
Peter.
Well, obviously, we have a panelist who actually was just inducted into the Clio Hall of Fame. I didn't know such a thing was. For this ad campaign, it was Tom Baudet from Motel 6... We'll leave a light on for you.
Absolutely.
Two things about that. He wrote that line. And the second thing is, like, sometimes he'll say, oh, we're going away. I'm doing a big conference of, like, Motel 8 owners. And we're all going to this place. And I say, you're going to stay in a Motel 8. Motel 6, I'm sorry.
Motel 8 is too expensive.
A little nicer. Yeah.
And he says, I said, no, you're going to Motel 6. He says, no, we're going to Club Med or some fabulous resort. And I say, really? You're Motel 6 executives and you're going to a Club Med or whatever it is for your convention? And he'll say, we're a budget motel chain. We're not idiots.
I think that should be their slogan, by the way. Yeah.
I like that. Motel 6. We're not stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Come at me.
All right. After graduating from Georgetown University, which panelist took a job as a lounge singer in a Washington, D.C. bar singing jazz standards? Peter.
I have absolutely no clue. All right, let me think. A panelist on my show, somebody I know,
yes,
went to Georgetown and was a lounge singer.
Would you like a hint?
Yes, please.
Art?
As an advice columnist, her signature song might be...
Oh, of course.
Someone to Watch Over Me.
Yes, that was very good. It comes to be Amy Dickinson.
Amy Dickinson is correct, yes. She is the advice columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
Little bit of trivia about Amy Dickinson. Her own life, totally messed up.
Before launching his stand-up career, which panelist spent 9 years as a jet mechanic for defense contractors Lockheed and McDonnell Douglas and even worked on the stealth bomber? Peter Sagal.
That would be Alonzo Bowden.
You got it.
Appropriately, which panelist has appeared on Star Trek Deep Space Nine as a genetically engineered human with super intelligence? And I say appropriately because she is a former Rhodes Scholar.
That would be my good friend Faith Saley.
Peter Sagal, you are correct.
Faith, as you say, was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine
as
a very attractive, super engineered person. Not a dork at all. It seems unfair.
A non-dork gets
that job.
I know,
the non-dork, just because she's gorgeous and talented, gets to be in the show. Well, people like myself, who would care, never get asked to play the genetically engineered superhumans. It just doesn't seem right.
Well, maybe on Deep Space 10.
There we are, yes.
Art, how did our VIP Peter Sagal do on our quiz?
I think Peter's ready for Jeopardy again because he aced our quiz.
Yay!
Well done. Congratulations and thanks to you.
I feel so good.
Yeah?
Thank you. Yeah,
and Allison Johnson gets a prize. Because of you, she gets an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
That's awesome. That's
great. I
know.
It's very exciting. One more round of applause for our VIP.
Thank you, everybody.
Peter Sagal.